Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning at West End United Methodist Church to celebrate this year of Jubilee, 140 years of Methodism in this place called West End. It's a joy to have Bishop Clark in our congregation today, who is among we who are bishops considered a saint. So thank you, Roy, for being here. Some of you are wondering about my new haircut. Many of you have never seen me before, but if you had, I used to have hair. As fact, as late as 10:30 last night, I had a hair of head on my hair. But I was at Warmth in Winter, our large youth event in the conference, and I challenged our young people that if they would raise $20,000, they could shave my head. $20,000 for youth service fund. Unfortunately, they were successful. And they, in fact, raised $24,000 for Youth Service Fund. What a great gift to the church. Youth Service Fund has been a part of our life together among young people for decades. And it offers dollars that can be granted to ministries within the annual conference in a service mentality, a way in which we can offer help to those who are doing extraordinarily gifted things for the sake of others. And then some of those dollars go beyond the annual conference. So what a great gift they have given us. Doubled the amount of money that they gave a year ago. It is the most expensive haircut I've ever received. And we pray it will grow back. Thank you, Michael, for the invitation to be here today to celebrate and worship with you in this wonderful and magnificent congregation. Will you pray with me and for me now? O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter in every storm of life, and our eternal home. As we gather here this day, we are reminded that we stand on the shoulders of others, that we did not, in fact, arrive in this place on our own. Somebody brought us. Help us touch those roots in our faith that allow us to remember and give thanks and live into a new future with hope and anticipation. And now, Lord, may those who've gathered here hear you and not me, see you and not me, and when we leave this place, may we be so very careful to offer you the praise and thanksgiving. Amen. I'm a Mississippian. Some of you know this. My father is a retired United Methodist pastor in the Mississippi Conference. His uncle, Swinnon, was a minister in the Mississippi Conference. My son is a pastor in the Mississippi Conference today. We come from a long line of those known as the Levites of Mississippi. But we got to Mississippi through our ancestors who came from South Carolina, who came from Ireland. But the Mississippi McAlilies came from Chester, South Carolina. Samuel McAlily was a state senator in the South Carolina legislature prior to, as someone reminded me this morning after the service, the War of Northern Aggression, not the Civil War. He was a part of the legislature that voted whether or not to secede from the Union. His was the only dissenting vote against secession. Now, if you read South Carolina history, you will know that the history books record that the legislature voted unanimously. But the truth of the story is, Samuel went home after the vote had been taken. Everyone else hung around under the oak tree, reconvened, had another vote so they could say it was unanimous. There is a short street in Chester named McAlily Street, and there is a marker, historical marker to that effect. So I'm not making this stuff up. It's true. Richard came from South Carolina to Winston County, Mississippi, settled out from Louisville, out Highway 14 in a little community called Center Ridge. You can go to Center Ridge and you will find the grave marker for Margaret Williford Pegg, Granny Pegg. She is the matriarch of all the McAlilies. They were Presbyterians when they came to Mississippi. There was not a Presbyterian church within a wagon's day drive of their home place until they became Methodist. I like to say we were predestined to be Methodist. So our text this morning draws me to memories of ancestors. The 12th chapter, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. I'm thinking this morning about on whose shoulders do I stand? Who brought me to the baptismal font? Who made it possible for me to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? I wonder who is in your cloud of witnesses. On whose shoulders do you stand? Who brought you to the font? In 1963, our family moved from West Point, Mississippi to Fulton, Mississippi, where my father became the pastor at First United Methodist Church, Fulton. It was a frightening time for an 8-year-old. Had a similar haircut as this. In those days, it was cool. Miss Ann Stubblefield was the third grade Sunday school teacher at First United Methodist Church, Fulton. Her husband, Malcolm, was the choir director. And for some reason unknown to me, even to this day, Malcolm and Ann surrounded my brother and I with a great source of love and support and comfort and strength in those early days. Last summer, Miss Ann gave me a telephone call. She said, "You haven't been back to Fulton since you were elected bishop. When are you coming to preach?" I said, "Miss Ann, I can be there in August. What time would you like for me to be there?" And I was there. She was too. On Miss Ann's shoulders, I stand here today. I also stand on the shoulders of Billy Bonds McElroy. B.B. was my boy scout master when I was in the sixth grade. B.B. was the guy who taught me how to play the guitar. I stand on the shoulders of Ed Woodall. Ed was our conference youth coordinator in the Mississippi Conference, the former North Mississippi Conference, when I was a 10th, 11th, and 12th grader. And it was Ed who first said to me, "Bill, do you think God might be calling you to full-time Christian ministry?" Do you have a name? Do you see a face? Can you hear a voice that spoke into you words of grace, words of strength, words of mercy, words of invitation to more than you thought was possible in your life? Who is in your cloud of witnesses? In the chapter prior to the 12th chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have this great litany of faith, those who travel by faith. And verse 1 and 11 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things that cannot be seen." And then we have this great litany, Abraham and Sarah. Them good as dead, and they have this child, they name him Isaac. Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. If you were 97 and found out you were pregnant, you would laugh. There would be nothing else to do. Crying would not help. Over and over again, those who travel by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we get to the 12th chapter and we get to this first verse. The first word of 12:1 is therefore. Now, when you come to a therefore in Scripture, you need to sit up. Pay attention, something important is about to be said. And the writer says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us look to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." This morning we will come to this table, and the ministers will say big and important words over common elements, bread and wine, body broken, blood shed. The Greek is anamnesis, in remembrance of me. Do this in anamnesis of me, in remembrance. We remember that we did not get here on our own. We remember that the grace that is ours comes to us as gift, undeserved, unmerited, gift. And so we come with hands open. When we kneel at the altar, we open our hands so that we can again receive the gift of the cloud of witnesses that have, those who have gone before us, who make it possible for us to get up in the morning and recognize that who we are and whose we are is more than we ever thought possible. And so when you come to this table today, be reminded that you come here not on your own. You come here as a part of that great cloud of witnesses. And in this place, for 140 years, people have gathered at this altar and have received the same grace. But there's more. We will say at the end of the communion ritual, as forgiven and reconciled children of God, rise and go. So that others might be able to come and know what you know, receive what you have received, offer to them what they have not yet known. Grace upon grace. So the invitation is always to come and to receive and then go, surrounded by one who has loved you, who has called you by name, who invites you to keep your eyes focused on him. May we receive that grace this day in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.